Well, today is Palm Sunday. It's when we remember how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the King of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that entrance into Jerusalem in that way was the beginning of Jesus' final week. By Friday, he would be crucified for our sins, a sacrifice for us all, and a sacrifice made from a heart determined to love us. And as we anticipate Easter next Sunday, let's ponder all that Jesus did for us on the cross and then in his resurrection. And we'll celebrate the resurrection together next Sunday. But also, let's use this week to make an impact for eternity. I want to invite you that sometime during this coming week, I want to ask every one of you watching, to make a short video of yourself, just a short one on your phone or on your tablet or computer camera. Just video yourself giving your testimony of how you came to faith in Jesus and including in that the message of the gospel. And then I want you to post that to your social media channels, wherever you've got accounts, put that up. And just remember to keep the video short. 1 or 2 minutes is all really it takes. And put that up there. Let's with so many people right now using social media, they're taking their phones and they're scrolling through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, seeing story after story. Wouldn't it be amazing if people started seeing story after story of how Jesus changes people's lives through the gospel? And so that's an incredible opportunity we have this week, since so many people are looking online for resources and even for answers. Incredible opportunity to reach more people this Easter, maybe than we've ever reached in the history of our church. And so let's do that. Just get ready, prepare that, and let's pray. Pray for God to use your testimonies, and pray for God to use this project, this ministry, to reach many, many new people and bring many people into the kingdom. And so let's pray for that. Let's stop and pray for that right now, just for a moment. So just stop and pray with me. Lord, as this week approaches, as we approach Easter Sunday next week, I pray that you would help our hearts to really be thinking about all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross and in his resurrection. And Jesus, I thank you that you came and that you were willing to suffer and die, and that by God's power you rose again the third day, and you are alive now forever, and you give us your life. And I pray now, Lord, you would give us the boldness and the courage to tell the world and not be ashamed of the gospel, and that you would use this humble attempt to give our testimony and to share the gospel on little videos and put those on our social media account. God, that you would bless that and you would cause many, many people who maybe have never heard the name of Jesus or have never heard the gospel or have never really heard a story of how the gospel actually has the power to transform someone's life. I pray you just use this to break through all the noise out there, and that you would open ears to hear the gospel and from fresh voices on the internet. So, Lord, would you do that? And now, Lord, as we study your word, I pray that you would capture our hearts and our minds with your goodness to us and help us now to open our hearts to receive all that you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a Bible or a phone handy, you can navigate to the book of 1 Peter again. I want to speak to you out of that book again. Today we're going to cover 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And so I want to remind you where we are in this book and what this book is about. About as soon as the early Christians got going in their new path, their new life of following Jesus, about as soon as they got going, their lives got significantly disrupted. Mounting pressures against them became so strong that they had to flee their hometowns to escape the dangers that they were facing, scattered all across the known world at that time. And most of them were to never return home again. They had to start new lives in new places. And so, scattered and scared, they needed something to just stabilize them, something to give them hope, to keep their faith in Jesus sturdy and strong. And so the Apostle Peter, with a heart of love for them, and really for us, all these years later reading this letter, he wrote them a letter. He wrote us a letter. Now, Peter is one of the men who had to have his own faith restored after scattering from Jesus when Jesus was arrested. He was scared for his own safety. And so of all people, Peter could identify with what his dispersed friends like us were feeling. They were feeling sad. He had felt that. They're feeling alone, worried, wondering if they're going to be okay or not. And Peter knew that what they needed most in circumstances like that, in this crisis, and what we need is perspective. We need some perspective. Peter knew that we needed to be reminded of certain truths that would give us hope and that would preserve our faith. So in spite of how things are feeling right now, in spite of how our world seem to be spinning out of control and maybe even losing things, losing life, or losing some of our freedoms to travel and do business and go places, just like the people in Peter's day, we need to be reassured of some things. Peter, as he wrote this letter, he wanted us to be reassured of who we are and what we have. We are God's children, His chosen children, that are so deeply loved that God's own Son sacrificed Himself willingly to make us God's children too. That's who we are. And now look at what we have. Even though these early believers, they had lost everything. They had lost their houses, their jobs. They had lost their friends, their status in the community. They had even lost a sense of place and a sense of belonging. And so Peter begins by telling them that in spite of what's happening to us, first of all, number one, that we have great reasons to have hope. We have great reasons to have hope. Look at what he begins by saying in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, first of all, in the middle of all this, get some perspective, understand what we have. What a God we have, he says. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have Him. So think about, for just a minute, think about how blessed we are to have the Father of Jesus Christ as our Father too. I mean, that changes everything. That means that we're not alone in this. We're not alone in this mess. God is with us as our Father, watching us, tending to us, caring for us. We have God on our side. And what a God He is. What an incredible God He is. Notice what Peter says. His language is really careful here. He's the God who's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but our Lord Jesus Christ. This is personal. That means that the God we have is not way up there and we're way down here, far from Him, so far away from Him that God up there doesn't really make any difference to our lives down here. No. He's the God who sent Jesus down here to rescue us and to bring us close to God, so close to God that we're in His heart. And so the God we have is right here with us through every hard thing we're facing. Everything. And so the first thing we need to hear in order to get the right perspective is to look up out of this mess that we're in and to realize what we have. We have God. And what a God He is. And how fortunate we are to have Him. And then he says this, we also have a brand new life. Look at the next part of verse 3. He says, according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so we have been given a brand new life, which means we have everything to live for. God has given us mercy. He even says that there. According to His great mercy, He's caused us to be born again. Great mercy He's had on us. I mean, think about it. He's taken our sins away. He's breathed the life of God right into us, making us alive. Just like Jesus rising from the dead. Listen. These may be tough times, and we may have tougher times ahead of us. We don't know what's coming. And some of us may really suffer because of this crisis. Maybe our health, maybe our finances, maybe in other ways, mental anguish, spiritual struggle, loneliness. We may struggle, and we may really suffer because of this crisis, even more than we're feeling it now. But all these circumstances we find ourselves in, you know what? They're just circumstances, and they're only temporary. You know, they can't take away what we have that's permanent. They can't take that away. We have God as our Father, and we have a brand new life because of Jesus' amazing resurrection from the dead. The God of heaven stepped down into the shambles of our lives, the shambles of this world, to wear like a garment our sin and shame. And nailed to a cross, Jesus, with a loud cry, pierced the dark with words of finality. He said these words. He said, "It is finished. It's all accomplished. All is made new." And to prove that He'd accomplished it all, He rose from the dead 3 days later. New life. Death-defying life. And that life has been given to us. So don't be defeated by fear and sadness or feeling like your life is ruined or you have no reason to live. No, don't feel that. You have every reason to live. We have every reason to live because we have Jesus, who is our living hope. And as Ray Ortland has said so helpfully, we have every reason to hope because our future is incredibly bright. Look at verses 4 and 5. Peter says, we've been born again to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. For you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, at the last day. And so the day is coming. Don't ever doubt it for a minute. The day is coming when you're going to have it all. Nothing lacking. Everything in abundance. So much abundance, it'll take you forever to enjoy it. In His presence, in heaven, when we're there with Him, our lives will be healed and whole, and we'll be happy, finally, happy and happy forever. You can bet Jesus' life on it. Listen, the God we have is so careful. He's keeping a close watch over us right now, and He's keeping a watch over our future. And there's nothing, not even the greatest sickness or the worst loss you can imagine, nothing that can even begin to threaten our future with Him. Our future is bright. So not only do we have everything to live for, we have everything to hope for. So there are just three things right there out of the first few verses. Strong reasons to have hope. We have because of the God we have, because of the new life we have, and because of the bright future we have. Promised to us, guaranteed by God through the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? So we have strong reasons to have hope. Now, secondly, our testing right now is making Jesus look good. Look at verse 6. He said, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while." This is just a season. This is temporary. "If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." So all these hardships are really doing, all that they're doing is just proving who you really are in Jesus. Think about that. That's all these trials are doing. They're proving who you and I really are in Christ. Go on to verse 7. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So think about this. When you put pure gold into a fire, it comes out proven to be pure gold. And when you put genuine faith through suffering, it comes out proven to be genuine faith. So let's get some perspective on this. All this difficulty that you're facing and that you're feeling, all the stress, the worry, the fear that keeps gripping you, it's only proving who Jesus really is in you and who you really are in Jesus. In other words, it's proving you to be genuine. Your faith to be genuine. So after going through all this trouble that we have to endure, when Jesus finally returns, and boy, do I hope it's soon, when He returns, our faith is going to be put on display like a trophy. Not a trophy to how great we are, and how great our faith was, and how much credit we get for that. No, no, no. The genuineness of your faith and mine, tested and proven to be tried and true, is going to be the evidence of Jesus' victory for you and in you, getting you all the way home. So the genuineness of our faith, proven to be true by going through hard things with our trust in Jesus still intact, it's going to be proof of how amazing Jesus is, not you or me. So the genuineness of our faith will be to His praise and His glory and His honor on the day He finally appears. And listen, if you're a believer, that's your deepest longing, isn't it? Not that you would be made much of, but that's your deepest desire, down deep in your heart, your desire that something about you, something about your life, somehow, some way, would make much of Jesus. I mean, our heart's cry is captured in those words of John the Baptist. "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that's what this trial is all about. You and I making Jesus look really good by our response, by our hope, by our love, by our obedience to Him, by our trust in Him, making Him look good. So let's let this trial only purify us from those things that would otherwise diminish the display of Jesus in us. Let's let it purify those things out of us. So that even though we can't see Jesus yet, that He could be seen in us. In our faith and in our joy and in our peace, regardless of the circumstances. In fact, that's what it's talking about in verses 8 and 9. Peter says, "Though you have not seen Jesus yet, you love Him. Though you do not now see him, you believe him. You trust in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so, we have every reason to hope. And our future is bright. And our testing is just showing how good Jesus is. Now, there's one more thing I want to show you, and it's the third thing, number three. We are so fortunate to have this hope. The old prophets of God in the Old Testament, they told us that this kind of salvation was coming. The one we've been talking about this morning, the new life in Jesus. But you know, they saw glimpses of it ahead of time, but they didn't know exactly what it all meant. And so they asked lots of curious questions about it. Verse 10 and 11 tells us a little bit about that process. It says, concerning this salvation that you and I have, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, well, they searched and inquired carefully. They were curious. Verse 11, inquiring what person or what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Those Old Testament prophets, they wanted so badly to know who the Savior would be. They wanted to know when he would come and when all this would happen. But you know, God really only let them see two key things. He let them see that the Messiah, who we now know to be is Jesus Christ, they didn't know that, but he showed them that the Messiah would experience suffering before he experienced glory. And the second thing is, he showed them that their message was for you and me. Look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So those old prophets, they were given revelation beforehand about Jesus, about the salvation that you and I get to enjoy right now, today. And they were told about us. They were told about you and I, who have now heard and understood the full message of the gospel that all those Old Testament prophecies were about. It's now been fulfilled, and you and I get in on it. And we have experienced the full outpouring of God's saving love. I mean, do you realize how fortunate we are? Angels, it says, would have given anything to be in on this. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Who are we compared to angels? And we get in on the greatest thing God has ever done in the world. And we get in on it firsthand. Prophets and angels, they would have given anything to get in on it like we get in on it. And you know what we are compared to them? Man, we're complete zeros compared to those guys. We're zeros compared to angels. Nothing. But we get in on the fullness of the message of the salvation. We get in on the fullness of the experience of God's saving love and His grace and His hope. And our future is incredibly bright. We get heaven as our future. We are so fortunate to have this hope. And really, anybody can get in on it. Anybody can get in on this hope by simple trust in Jesus' love and His forgiveness because of His death on the cross and His resurrection. So I ask you, think about it. Get some perspective here. What can this world really do to us? What can it take from us? I mean, if God is for us, in all of these incredible ways that we've talked about this morning, well, then who or what can be against us? And since, because of Jesus, our future is guaranteed by God Himself, then what do we really have to be afraid of? Listen, don't let anything steal your hope. You have God on your side, and you have a new life in Jesus, and you have heaven as a guarantee. We are so fortunate. So let the world do what it's going to do. Let things happen in the world that are going to happen. God's in control. In fact, let the world take everything we've got. And if that happens, you know what? We will still be standing tall by Jesus' side, enjoying His inheritance forever. Now that's a hope that can't be shaken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can even call You Father. That as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have You as our Father. And we can even cry out, Abba, that intimate Hebrew word of love and adoration and intimacy. Thank You, Lord, that we have You in the middle of all this mess we're in. Thank You that we have been given new life through Jesus, and that we've been given the promise of heaven. I pray that You would work in us those qualities of strong faith and deep hope that would put Jesus on display in us so that He looks like the amazing Savior that He is. That He looks like the worthy, praiseworthy, worship-worthy, honor-worthy Savior that He is. Jesus, You've given us everything, and everything You've given us is permanent and unshakable. Lord, help us this morning to gain that perspective and to really put our hope in You and to rejoice in You in spite of everything that's happening around us and to us. And Father, help us to just give You the praise and bless Your name so that You would be to us the blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so would You bless us now as we conclude our service and as we enter into the next week, would You help us to enter into this week from a place of strength and dependence upon You and hope in You. Make us strong, Jesus. And look good through our lives. Use our testimonies. Use our witness, even though we're isolated. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Amen.